Social scientists, psychologists, city planners, architects, journalists, columnists have all written in the past few decades about the loss of our civic unity here in the United States. There have been movements to create downtowns in newly built areas. They've created town squares with the neat homes wrapped around them to try to give people a sense of neighbors. They try to create connections for people to build relationships. They try to build villages. We saw this vacuum strikingly during COVID and how people tried to remedy it. The pandemic of loneliness highlighted by the Surgeon General was just one example of this. People seeking connections with neighbors they had never met before COVID, creating pods or self-defined families. You see, Hillary Clinton was onto something with the title of her book, It Takes a Village. But I think this concept expands far beyond the parameters that Hillary Clinton first offered. I had a friend who had moved here from the UK and often talked to me about villages. I think it was somewhat in reference to where she had grown up in England. But as an expat, she had decided she needed to create a new village for herself when she moved to Walnut Creek. New friends, new companions, new support systems. She had to find those people to spend holidays with, to take vacations with, to laugh, to cry, to lean on, to adventure with. In her words, she called it her village. Today's gospel reading also talks of a village. In fact, it is the living village of Jesus and his chosen family, his disciples. Our gospel reading today from the Gospel of John is a continuation from last week's gospel. In fact, it's the very next verses. Jesus has gathered his disciples in this upper room to celebrate the Passover, what we now call the Last Supper. And during this meal, in the gospel, John speaks to them for a long time. 4 chapters to be exact. And in our reading today, it's right in the midst of this type of sermon that Jesus is sharing. And as is often the case with the Gospel of John, it helps to somewhat take a step back to better understand the environment that the writer is working in and to what audience he's writing for. The audience is often referred to as the Johannine community, the community of John. Scholars believe that this community existed around 90 to 110 CE and were mainly Jewish Christians who believed in a highly divine Jesus. They were struggling to identify themselves separate from their Jewish synagogue and its teachings and to show Jesus as fully divine. They wanted to emphasize that he was more than a teacher, more than a rabbi, more than a prophet, that he was God in human form. We have this short excerpt from the 14th chapter. As I said, the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 17, all take place during the Last Supper. Jesus is sharing the Passover with disciples, and he has these sort of long discourses where he tells them stories. He tells them what is to come. He tells them what they're going to be called to do and about what happens after Jesus dies. It was a lot that I imagine was very confusing to the disciples. But our reading today is a small section of this. And here, Jesus is talking about what is to come. Specifically, Jesus tells them about an advocate. The Greek word for this term is parakletos. Para, meaning from close beside. Kaleo, to make a call. So the literal definition is one called alongside to help. An advocate. We might think of this word as it's used in legal terms, or even perhaps in social justice work. And it has some of the same connotations, but I think there's a deeper use of the word here. You see, it's not an advocate as if you need someone to help you defend yourself with God. Rather, the Holy Spirit is a companion or a comforter. Above all, the Holy Spirit is there as we cannot do it by ourselves. The Advocate is a reminder of our village, a reminder that we are not alone, a reminder that God does not expect us to do it all, a reminder that we are human and we have human limitations, as much as we would like to forget those. Jesus begins and ends our gospel today with love. It is the bookends. He explains to his disciples that if they love him, they will keep his commandments. Remember, this is just after Jesus has shockingly washed their feet and told them that if they love him, they will keep his commandments, and that he is washing their feet because he loves them and wants them to share this love with each other. So what are these commandments that Jesus keeps referring to again and again? Well, they were the ones that he shared earlier. One, to love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And number two, to love your neighbor as yourself. If the disciples keep these commandments, they will show Jesus how they love him. And if they love Jesus, they will keep these commandments. It's a little bit of a circular argument Jesus is making. The command is to love each other, to care for their village, this village that's been created by love, chosen by Jesus, and can only exist with love. Jesus continues to try and show them that love is the connecting, the driving force amongst them, whether Jesus is there or not. And from this love, Jesus's love for them, and I believe their love for each other, the Advocate has been gifted to them. I think the Holy Spirit is the one that fills in the gaps, or perhaps sometimes the gulfs between us. The Advocate can stretch a little further than I can reach. The Spirit can be a little more than sometimes I can show up for. They are often the connection that I lack in my life, and the Holy Spirit makes things whole again. And as Jesus is sitting at a table with his most favorite people, the ones that he has come to love most in the world, the ones he chose to walk with, to live with, and ultimately to trust his new church with, he recognizes that they are his village as well. And he wants them to know that he loves them, and he knows that they love him too, and that this love will continue beyond his time with them. But he is not expecting them to have to do this work alone. He is also giving them a village, both each other and the Advocate, the one that will be their inspiration, their imagination, their innovation, that will fill in the gaps. The Advocate that was given in love to exist in love is to be shared in love. Jesus trusts his village to share this love. And so as I think back about my friend's idea of a created village or the chosen people in her life, I am reminded of the specialness in this choosing, of the privilege to be in a village. I also see that my friend trusted the village. She trusted those that had been given to her to take care of her beloveds when she is no longer here with us. Jesus invites us into a village, both here at Resurrection and beyond. Maybe your village is self-created, those friends that you consider family. Maybe your village is something you chose to be part of, like Church of the Resurrection. However, and whatever your village looks like, Jesus reminds us to love and to care for those in our village, reminds us to trust that we will not have to do the work alone, that we have an advocate and a companion in our journey, a gap filler in the village. This will be the link between all of us, the embodiment of love. Amen.